Welcome into the first episode of the Greg Ratliff Podcast. Joining me on the show today, Clayton France from Memphis City FC supporter group Rogue Squadron, and my buddy Matt Presson. We're all going to talk soccer today. Lots of big soccer news. Memphis possibly joining the USL, and some Premier League talk as well. But first, let's get into my top three stories of the week. So the number one story today, Zach Randolph, a former Memphis Grizzly, arrested in Los Angeles. Possession of marijuana with intent to deliver, a felony charge, which if it is proven to be true, it could mean the end of his career in the NBA, as strange as this all may sound. The story was put out there by TMZ Sports yesterday and has since been reported all over the place, ESPN and AP. Anybody and everybody has been talking about this. Zach was involved in a large group of individuals that were... the attention was drawn to them. They're being loud and apparently smoking marijuana in the street. And then the police showed up. Things got crazy with the police. Cars damaged, whatnot. Zach already posted bail. He's back out. But this is a very, very interesting story and could have implications on his career and his potential jersey retirement in Memphis. It's just a very, very interesting story. My second story of the day, Memphis in the USL. We're going to talk more about this with all of the guests on the show, with Clayton and with Matt. But it's a very interesting story because Memphis has a semi-pro soccer team now, Memphis City FC. And USL is the second tier of the U.S. soccer quote-unquote pyramid. No promotion and relegation. It's just a pyramid in design only. No actual like movement up or down the pyramid. Other than teams, I guess in a way, getting promoted, such as the Birmingham Hammers, who played in the same league as the Memphis City team does. Their team is basically getting brought into the USL starting in 2019. That is also when Memphis, well, whatever it would be called, we don't really know at this point if it's 100% even going to happen. But a lot of sources out there, socktakes.com, that's SOCTAKES.com, they were the initial report on this. And they've also talked about Memphis possibly getting promoted in or getting an expansion team in the USL before. So it has a lot of... there's been a lot of talk over whether Memphis can support a team like this. I'm going to get more in depth into that with my guests coming up, but it's we could have pro soccer in Memphis. I'm excited about it. But my third story, it threw everything off that I was going to do on the show today. It kind of threw me for a loop a little bit. The Memphis Grizzlies have finally released their new Nike jerseys. Still no sponsors as of yet. I imagine that's got to be coming along very soon. The jerseys look great. I mean, but because it's the same jersey it was. So there's some little changes. The trim is a little bit different. But the colors are all the same. Same logo on it as before. Same number style. Just cleaned up in that Nike image with a little bit tighter shoulders and neckline. They moved the bear from the neck of the jersey to the waistband of the shorts. And it's just a Nike oriented jersey that looks just like the other ones. So good on the Grizzlies for not changing things up too much, keep things kind of the same. Who knows, maybe down the line we'll see some new stuff from them, but yeah, new jerseys for the Grizzlies. Hopefully get able to pick some of those up pretty soon. They still have two more jerseys to announce. This is just their first two, the Association and the Icon jersey. There's still two other jerseys that they will have as part of their repertoire of uniforms for next season. They have not actually said when that's going to be announced, but I imagine it's anytime soon, especially maybe once they get the sponsor straightened out. That'll be the next thing to come from that. And that wraps up my three stories for this week. Zach Randolph, Memphis in the USL, and new Grizzlies jerseys. New/old Grizzlies jerseys, I guess. So at this point, I'd like to welcome in the first guest on today's show. He's one of the heads of Rogue Squadron, the Memphis City FC supporters group. Clayton France.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
So the big story right now is this Memphis USL stuff, and you've got kind of an interesting perspective on it because you're in a way kind of right in the middle of it as part of the leadership of Rogue Squadron, which I guess first, kind of for people that may not know, explain what a Rogue Squadron is.
So Rogue Squadron is the supporters group for the NPSL team that we have in Memphis, Memphis City FC. Mm-hmm. It's about roughly 20 to 25 of us a week that go and we support Memphis City and watch the games, and we have drums and smoke grenades and chants. It's in every sense of the word. It's a true to life supporters group. And we started it with the movement of just growing the game in the city and having fun. And basically it was a way for, you know, guys that were 25 to 50 years old to go and drink beer and act like idiots and watch soccer and not be made fun of for doing it. And that's kind of what it's turned out to be. And you know, we have a guy that wears a motorcycle helmet so he can look like a, you know, a jet fighter. Cause we play into the Star Wars, you know, Rogue Squadron mm-hmm. mantra as much as we can. And people really seem to, you know, respond to that. So it's a lot of fun to do.
And I said, did I see somebody dressed as a dinosaur at one of the games too, from some of
the
pictures?
Yeah, so that is actually my fiance's cousin. he came to the last game of the season and he was like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm just gonna wear this giant inflatable thing. And it played out to be really hilarious and stuff like this. So
the one picture I saw on social media of like all the smoke bombs going off and dinosaurs sticking out through the smoke, that is just like the coolest picture. I love that so much.
Yeah, we got a lot of great feedback about that, so it was great.
So all that leads into kind of what's going on with the USL now. Memphis City FC, as of right now, they haven't really said anything publicly. What have you guys been hearing about possible promotion, or like what's going on basically?
So the honest answer here, and you know, like I said, everything is, a lot of this is purely speculative at this point. You know, nothing mm-hmm. is official. You know, all we know is, you know, what people tell us, and it's purely rumors and stuff, really. Is, you know, and how strong those rumors are, we're not sure. You know, but there's a very good sense of urgency about everything right now. And honestly, the feedback from the club has been pretty positive that we've gotten so far, which leads me to think that the club may kind of do something similar to what Birmingham did and might act as like a PDL club for the development team. You know, may act as a U23 going forward. You know, the initial reports were it was going to be a separate entity, nothing between the two clubs, and that kind of led a lot of us to think that this would sort of, you know, maybe lead to either a competing system or one club, you know, falling off of the wayside. But you know, like I said, it recently the mantra has kind of changed, and it's people are excited. People around Memphis City are excited about professional soccer being in Memphis.
And which, that's not necessarily to say that Memphis City FC is not professional, but it's not technically professional by the name.
Yeah, in the true sense of the word professional, no, it's not professional. You know, our players don't get paid. You know, these are a lot of college kids that play, you know, at the, you know, maybe at the Division II, Division III, NAIA level. Of course you have a few Division I kids that want to play. But most of these guys are from smaller colleges, or they're internationals that are over for college and they just want to, you know, stay in the U.S. for the summer. You know, it's just something. It's basically a way for guys at the younger level, at the lower levels, to just play and have fun.
And a lot of these guys too, from what I remember, they're staying with like host families, like an exchange student almost. They're like just living with people.
It is. It's very similar to that. And that kind of varies club by club. Like Memphis, the club rents out a house around Christian Brothers for them to stay in. Mm-hmm. And I mean, so there's like last season we rented out two or three apartments, I think the club did, and they put them up in the apartments, or the guys that are local, you know, maybe take a player in with their family or something. It varies. I mean, I know, you know, bigger and more established teams like Chattanooga, they have partners that put players up in apartments and stuff. And Detroit City's kind of the same way. Like their players are in these nicer, bigger houses and stuff like that. Memphis is so grassroots with everything that, mm-hmm. you know, our guys are, they're living off of, you know, they're living over by Christian Rose University and, you know, and they're living in a kind of a house that, you know, we have to go and fix the air conditioning units or we've got to go fix, you know, shower heads or something. So it's kind of an interesting, it's an interesting level of everything that this, you know, that this plays out at, but yeah, it is. It's, and really though, it kind of helps build the camaraderie with the guys. You see it, you know, we saw it the first year and we saw it again this past season. You know, the guys that live together, I mean, they become almost brothers and it's, you know, it's almost like a small fraternity in of itself.
So in your perspective then, if this USL team comes here, even if it kind of wipes some of that away, is it a victory to get USL here? I mean, what, for people that may not quite understand what that would mean to a city like Memphis, what would that mean?
I think it is a victory. I think, you know, as much as we love Memphis City and as much as I love Memphis City, I think USL is good for the city. I think the opportunity to have professional soccer here is good for the city. You know, one of the biggest struggles that we had, you know, trying to raise money this year for the club, you know, trying to, in our efforts to help the club raise money, you know, a lot of the responses were, well, is this team professional? You know, mm-hmm. well, no, technically not. We're semi-pro. You know, what is this? You know, basically everybody's question was, you know, is this professional? What is my return on this? And, you know, with a professional club, you get a return, you get branding and you get, you know, you get the front office that comes with that and everything and the ownership group that comes with, you know, a professional organization. And I think that is the biggest win of this move is getting the experience of, you know, the Redbirds and having a front office that does this, you know, day in and day out is do a professional sports organization and guys like, you know, Craig Under and Stephen Fraun who are very much directly tied into, you know, professional franchises. Mm-hmm. So I think that is the bigger win than Memphis getting a professional team is Memphis getting a professionally run organization.
I'm really glad you mentioned the organization, which by the way, for those listening, I'm talking to Clayton France from the Memphis City FC supporter group, Rogue Squadron. One of the things that I did today, and I think I mentioned this to you in some of our correspondence today, that I reached out to the folks at the Redbirds and waited all day. I kept waiting. I'm like refreshing my email over and over again. I basically just asked them, hey, can you guys comment on what's going on? Because I knew there were some articles. Jeff Calkins wrote something in the Commercial Appeal today about it where he had some a quote but not a quote from Craig Unger about everything. And I reached out and waited. I got one sentence back with you know, the professional, like, hello, Greg, and, you know, with the signature at the bottom. One sentence, all it says is, I'm not aware of anything.
Yeah, that sounds like a professional sports talk right there. That definitely sounds like the professional answer.
I laughed, I'm not kidding, for 10 minutes after I got that message. And, I'm like, that is perfect.
And I'll say this, and as tied in as we have been, and I personally have been into a lot of these rumors between the guys over at World Soccer Talk and Nipun Shapura, who is one of their lead columnists over there for them, and he is very integrated within, you know, the USL and USL expansion. He's very active in like a USL Reddit community and stuff. Mm-hmm. He was actually one of the first ones to break this story last year, going into last season. He was one of the first ones to say, yeah, Memphis is getting USL and we're hearing it's the Redbirds organization. And so when the Redbirds rebranded last year and had that big media announcement mm-hmm. and everything about the rebranding that they did, I mean, we at Rogue Squadron, I mean, like we were getting constant Twitter notifications or constant social media interaction with like people that are active with us. And they're like, this is it. This is the announcement. This is what's happening, you know, and, you know, lo and behold, that's not what it was. But that was kind of something that tipped the hat of, if there's going to be somebody that's going to start a professional team, all of the arrows point to that group.
Do you think of the NYCFC connection with the Yankees organization might have something to do with that too?
I think that's kind of the driving factor in a lot of the people that are, you know, these rumors and stuff, and a lot of the meat of these rumors is, you know, this is an ownership group that has its hand in an MLS club and has its hand in, you know, several minor league baseball organizations and the Yankees and stuff. So it's a group that is so deeply seated in, you know, improving their sports community and the sports culture. You know, every team that they have touched, I mean, turns to gold right now. You know, I mean, you look at the Redbirds. This is a team that before Stefan Braun came in and they bought into the group, you know, the team, you know, the Redbirds weren't selling out games. They weren't competing in the playoffs and stuff. And now, I mean, I looked at something today because it came across my feed and Twitter and stuff. And I mean, they're setting a like minor league record by like, they're like the second team behind them is like 20 games back already in the halfway through the season.
Yeah, you know, it's ridiculous. It's Nashville. You know? It's Nashville too, which makes it even better.
Oh, which is, yeah, that's just, that's just the icing on the cake right there. So, And that's the other thing, was, you know, if we move to this USL level, like, we'll get to compete against Nashville again, and we'll get to compete against teams like Birmingham and St. Louis, these bigger cities, you know, bigger cities that are rooted in the game. You know, we get to play with the big boys at this level.
And one thing that some other people here in town may not know, just because of there's not a huge familiarity with some of how the U.S. Soccer Federation works, that being in USL, that means U.S. Open Cup too.
It does.
So you could potentially have NYCFC or the LA Galaxy coming to AutoZone Park to play.
There is, I mean, you know, and right now, not to keep beating on to what has been a tremendous story this season in the USL, like FC Cincinnati.
This is a team that's
drawing 20,000 people a game in a small soccer specific stadium to watch their team play, like New York Red Bulls and Columbus Crew. I mean, they're playing MLS teams and winning.
They broke my heart. I'm a born and raised Chicago Fire fan, and that game broke my heart.
That
team is just so it's an atmosphere like I've never seen. And I reached out to a few of the people that I'm friends with that are part of a Section 8, their supporters group.
Yeah,
and they could not. They were just blown away by the atmosphere in that place. Nothing like they'd ever seen.
Yeah, and that's what we want to do, and that's what, you know, Rogue Squadron is trying to do at the NPSL level, is create that type of atmosphere, and that's something that with the USL club, you know, that's something that the USL club's SG will try to make the same efforts. You know, they want to create an atmosphere that you want to provide something for people to go to the game to do. You want to make the atmosphere fun and give something back to the community to enjoy.
So as we kind of wrap things up, I want to ask you another soccer question. I kind of mentioned it earlier. We're both members of Memphis Spurs. You're a dues paying member. I am not, because I'm broke. And
I wasn't a dues paying member until about 2 weeks ago. So, you know, we're okay.
I'm working on it. Any of the other guys in the group that listen to this I've talked to before about this, I'm working on it. I'm gonna get it taken care of. Anyway,
for all intents and purposes, I'm just in it for the scarf for the ad in my collection. You know, let's just have a disclaimer out there.
I work most Saturday and Sunday mornings, so every time it's like the games during the week, I can maybe get to those.
Definitely tougher to do when you work during the prime viewing ship of the sport.
Exactly. So I wanted to ask you, we're taping this on Thursday night. Premier League starts tomorrow, but Tottenham plays Sunday morning. Is Tottenham, I don't even want to say, are they going to win the title? Are they going to finish in the top four again this year?
Yeah, I think so. I think that the Premier League is, you know, I went to the game in Nashville. I got to see the boys play and play in front of City. And I'll tell you, I think City looks amazing. It was so tough to see Kyle Walker in a baby blue jersey instead. You know, but here's my prediction for the table is, Spurs will probably finish third or fourth at the table. They'll, I think that Conte has, or not Conte, but Pep has that team ready to go.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, Gabriel Jesus being in a full season now and them keeping everybody healthy and stuff, I think that team is just, that team is poised to make an absolute run of things this season. And I think that Chelsea will fall back a bit. Their midfield is, you know, a little more depleted than it was going into last year, and mm-hmm. and everybody's still waiting to see what, you know, the Costa issue is going to be there, whether or not he's going to stay or leave. But I do think that they'll be out. I think they'll probably finish second or third, and United, if they can get the Galacticos to ever kind of figure it all out between Pogba and Lukaku and everybody like that. I mean, they're poised to challenge, but I don't see it working. I think Lukaku is too inconsistent, and Pogba hasn't proven that he's ready for the Premier League. So I think that Spurs finish third or fourth, and then those four teams will be somehow interchangeably the top four.
If you go to some of the betting sites over in England right now, they have Manchester United as the overwhelming favorite to win the Premier League this year.
That does not surprise me ever.
Yeah.
but you know, basically I feel like the betting sites in England, whoever spends the most money comes out with the best odds.
Yep.
And that's usually how it works. And Spurs, who have yet to buy anybody at this point in the transfer window, which is agonizing. I'm surprised that we're even, like, I saw a prediction today that we're projected to finish third, and I'm surprised they even put us there, to be honest.
I've seen everything as high as I saw one guy somewhere of some newspaper in England. The guy picked Spurs to win the title. I've seen some people say they're going to finish as low as like ninth or 10th. I've seen it kind of all over, but nobody's really, I haven't seen anybody out of the top 10. So that's good.
Yeah,
at least.
It'll really be a testament to see how well the boys play, you know, how to adapt to playing at Wembley. And does the article that Danny Rose and the interview that he just had with the Sun, does that cause some strife mm-hmm. amongst the team? And hopefully that answer is no. You know, hopefully everybody's just going to tell him to keep his mouth shut, you know, and keep playing. And we'll see what happens, and we can buy our right back and, you know, maybe some squad depth. But we'll just have to see what happens.
So for anybody that wants to get in touch with you or find out more about Rogue Squadron or anything, any of the other stuff we've talked about, where can they go for that?
So the best way to keep up with us is obviously on social media. You can follow us at Twitter at Rogue Squadron MC or our Instagram. And I think that's also Rogue Squadron MC. I don't use Instagram. I don't run Instagram, so I don't keep in touch with that one as much. But our other co-president does that one, and he does a really good job of it. And, you know, we're really active on Instagram. So, you know, go follow us at one of those two places. We also have a Facebook page at Memphis Rogue Squadron. And, you know, you can follow us on any one of those social medias, and those will, you know, keep you all in the loop. And we're actually going to start doing more frequently what we're going to call Premier League Breakfast, and have people go out to Celtic or Brastar or, you know, some of the other bars in the city and watch soccer games and have nice fun early in the morning with each other on the weekends.
Here, I've got the pages for you. Instagram, it's MCFC Rogue.
Okay.
And then where's the other? Facebook, it's MCFC Rogue Squadron 16. That's the official address for it. But if you just go on there and search Rogue Squadron, you'll probably MCFC Rogue Squadron. You'll find it on.
Look for an orange and maroon, you know, Star Wars logo, and that's us.
Yes,
like I said, we definitely feed to the Star Wars. So
awesome! Thank you for doing that, coming on the show with me this week, and hopefully we'll see. I'll be seeing you out at Celtic soon for some Spurs.
Sounds great. Thanks, Greg.
So now we're going to get into the part where we're going to talk a little bit more local stuff, even more local stuff than we just did with Clayton France. And oddly enough, when you listen to this show, you're not going to notice it yourself, but I recorded an entire intro to the show and had to delete it because as I was recording it, I get a notification on my phone. The Memphis Grizzlies have released their Nike Association and Icon jerseys. And I wanted to talk to Matt about a bunch of soccer stuff, but joining me right now is probably the future partner in crime / producer / whatever of this podcast and a whole bunch of other stuff that's in the pipeline that I can't really get into at the moment. Matt Presson, Matt, how are you doing this evening?
Doing well, Greg. Thanks for having me. I'll be even better when the check clears for all those titles you just gave.
You will be waiting for a while for that check to clear. Matt is a season ticket holder for the Memphis Grizzlies. How long have you guys been? You guys have been there since the beginning, right? Pretty close to
it? Very nearly. It was Power Packs the first couple of seasons and season ticket holders since then. I think that makes it either 12 or 13 years at this point.
So you've seen a lot of uniforms over the years. You're looking at them right now. What do you think of them?
Well, they look a whole lot like the old ones. So I'm kind of okay with that. The big takeaway I got from that was all the sales in the shop at the end of last season.
Yes. And I'm telling you right now, people are going to be really mad that they didn't buy a Chandler Parsons jersey when it was $25.
Might still have the chance.
Yeah, because anybody that didn't go to a game towards the end of last season, which Matt was at a few of them, and they clearanced everything out of the team store because it all had Adidas stuff on it, and because they're bringing in all the brand new Nike swag, and so they start discounting the jerseys. I made the mistake of buying one when they were still only half off, and then they kept discounting them more and more and more, all the way to the point that during the playoffs, the jerseys were $25. For anything that they still had left, whether it was the $115 jerseys or the $60 ones. And man, you could find a Conley one here or there, but for the most part, all the t-shirts, all the jerseys were all Chandler Parsons. So
it goes to show how popular he is.
Yeah. And the best part, stock up. My favorite story of all of it, and I still laugh about it, is one of the nights they did all the t-shirts, the jerseys, if you will.
Absolutely.
$10, which those are $30 shirts for $10. So I'm digging through the table trying to get a few of them. And people are picking up shirts, and one woman looks at it and turns to somebody by her and goes, "Who's number 25? And they're like, "Oh, Chandler Parsons." She goes, "Who the hell is Chandler Parsons?"
Valid question, though. Valid question. You kind of had to be a season ticket holder to catch them last year.
So, all that aside, new jerseys, they don't look anything really that much different. They just moved a couple logos around. Otherwise, they're same old, same old. But as some people may have heard on other podcasts and all over the place, they might change them next year or something. They don't know yet. But anyway, enough talk about the jerseys. What I really wanted to talk to you about is this Zach Randolph thing. You've seen a lot of Z-Bo over the years. I've seen a lot of him the last couple of years. This is just, this is ridiculous, is it not?
Well, it's definitely sad. Got a soft spot in my heart for him. I know most of the community does. It's just tough. You're not in Memphis anymore. You're in a media capital of the world there in LA. You have to be really careful, I think.
As a season ticket holder, if they still go through, like, now say that, because, you know, they're doing a hearing at the end of the month and they don't really know what could come of this. Of course, he's denying everything as he should because it's felony charges. This is pretty serious. Like, if it comes to the point where, you know, the Kings come to town, they're retiring the 50, putting it up in the rafters. Do you think they'll still do it? Would you care if they still did it? Like, if they haven't actually formally prosecuted him and convicted him of anything or any wrongdoing, if it's still just kind of like an in process thing, would you be mad if they went ahead and just did it?
I would be more upset if they didn't. Worst case scenario, Z-Bo is charged with a felony and he's not able to play in the league and his contract's voided and all that. He's no longer part of the NBA. I don't think that changes what he did in a Grizzlies uniform at all. It's off the court. I don't think the two affect each other.
I would agree with that. I think a lot of people here... I've seen more people just making jokes about it than anything else.
Right.
It's fun to go through just to type in Zach Randolph into Twitter and just look at all tweets. Not and not just look at the top tweets, just look at all and see what some of the people are saying. You've seen a few people here there like, oh, it's a shame of someone of his stature to be involved in such horrible things. But most people are like, man, Zach Randolph was balling.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, did you read the article that was in the Jeff Calkins did in the Commercial Appeal today about it?
Oh, no, I did not.
He broke down how much weed Zach had and what that exactly equates to. he had 2 pounds of weed in this backpack. Now, a lot of this is just speculative because TMZ reported that part of it, the LA police doesn't usually come out and say that kind of stuff. It was like TMZ did some digging and they found that. But what's reported is he had 2 pounds of weed on him. 2 pounds of weed equals about 2,000 joints.
So, well, Zeebo's a big boy. He's a very large man. And I'm sure his appetites are beyond what we can even comprehend.
So I don't want to speculate too much on whether, you know, whether he's selling the stuff or he's smoking the stuff. I personally don't care. If he wants to do whatever he wants to do, he's a multimillionaire. He can do whatever he wants. I don't care. It doesn't make a difference to me. If it starts affecting what happens to other people, that's when I would be concerned about it. But this is his life. If he wants to sell drugs, if he wants to do drugs, whatever. As long as he's not hurting somebody else in the process, you know, whatever. The real issue, one of the real issues I wanted to get to with you, Memphis in the USL. You're obviously probably the biggest soccer fan that I'm friends with. What do you think about this?
Oh, I'm super excited. Super excited. I guess we've gotten spoiled as Memphis sports fans. We've had all the major sports available to us here. If not necessarily the NFL, even though we did have that for a couple of years. But at least in my lifetime, soccer's been kind of hard to come by beyond the youth level. Now, MCFC started up recently, and that's been a really good experience, and that's fantastic to have. But surely having a team that's another couple divisions up and thus that much more competent.
Yes.
Be even more fun.
I think the thing for me is that, and I mentioned this when I talked with Clayton earlier today, that it's not only are you in the USL, which has all these, it's that you get the junior teams for some of the MLS teams like Portland and LA Galaxy has a team in there. You also get like one of the teams has that Memphis's sportscaster Jarvis Greer, his son plays for Phoenix. Didier Drogba plays for Phoenix. and so you've got that prospect. And then on top of that, you're in the USL, you're in the US Open Cup. And that brings all kinds of possibilities. You could have NYCFC or the Chicago Fire or LA or Portland or any of these MLS clubs coming to Memphis to play at AutoZone Park.
That's a fantastic point. Growing up watching European soccer, thinking I'd never have the chance to see these people in person. First the renaissance of the MSL, then the off-season tours, and now there's a possibility where I could see Frank Lampard or somebody playing in AutoZone Park.
Seems ridiculous.
It really is. It really is. But it's fantastic. I'm extremely excited about it.
Yeah, and I mentioned this earlier in the show too, that I reached out to I showed you already, but I sent out an email to somebody that works in the front office at the Memphis Redbirds, and I got back that one sentence response, which was the best. I think I laughed for like 10 minutes straight. It was just, I could not believe how just like, it was such a non-answer, but it wasn't even like a, we have no comment. It was literally like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, They might as well just say, I don't know. I don't know. USL, what's that?
I just hope they come off the gag order soon.
From all indications, everybody that has knowledge of the situation, you know, Jeff Calkins had his thing about it today where they basically said nothing, but they said something. They admitted that they know that the stories are out there, but they won't say that they're true or not true, which to me is a yes. I take that as a yes.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, it wasn't that long ago we were hearing about the Redbirds being in a position where they just weren't selling enough tickets anymore.
Yeah,
it makes such total sense for the Redbirds ownership group to go and find a way to have more events in their venue. So it makes so much sense. It feels like it's got to be true. The other thing I'd like to bring up about this is that this prospective Memphis USL team will be playing in a league that has teams in Nashville and Birmingham, and you know, it could be Little Rock, it could be New Orleans, anywhere else around. There's a chance we can have some real regional rivalries. These are places we can easily road trip to. This is,
yep.
And it just makes so much sense. It's got to be true.
I'm trying to find the story again here. I had the story pulled up of exactly like some of this stuff. There's just been so much stuff I've been looking up talking about this that, oh, here it is. Mm-hmm. I found it. A lot of the folks from Rogue Squadron have been really kind of taking the lead on this and doing some different stories on it here. This one is done by Smitty that everybody's probably seen. If you're familiar at all with MCFC, you know Smitty. He's the guy in the Star Wars helmet. I love Smitty. He's amazing. This article cites Jeff Calkins. It cites a lot of the other stuff. Let me see where it's at. We've got Louisville, Cincinnati, Nashville, Birmingham, St. Louis, all teams that could potentially be rivals for it. I mean,
maybe before your time, but that sounds like the old Metro Conference to me.
Yeah, that's something I saw on Twitter earlier today, somebody liking it to that. I think it'd be great. I think it'd be absolutely fantastic. It's all close distances, which a lot of these smaller leagues are really, really into because these teams don't have a lot of money. So the travel is a big problem. I think it would be fun. Yeah, you know, they're going to play in AutoZone Park, obviously, for now. Do you think, like, being somebody that's lived here a long time, I've only been here 6 years. Do you think the city could support a soccer-specific stadium?
I really do. You can look at the success of the Micro Soccer Complex out near Collierville.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really huge youth soccer organization, I guess you would say,
yeah.
Or at least participation around here. So I think that huge group of fans is there ready to be tapped. AutoZone's always prided itself on being a family-friendly kind of venue.
Sure.
And I don't know how many thousand. Yeah, I think there definitely is the potential to grow a pretty large fan base for this. The youth organizations and participation in Shelby County is really high. There are essentially AAU teams that still have high school and possibly even college age kids involved. On top of that, you have crazies like the Rogue Squadron and all the folks that have been watching European soccer for years. And
sure.
Where possibly the MCFC wasn't quite able to attract them. Something in AutoZone Park has that kind of air of credibility that I think will draw more casuals out.
Awesome. Yep. I could not agree more with you. That's kind of where I've been on it. I think there's a decent enough fan base here that will support it. As long as if they're not going to play in AutoZone Park, the stadium is still kind of, I know the whole thing is like centrally located, and downtown is not necessarily centrally located, mm-hmm. but it's an easier place to get to than a lot of other places for some people.
Well, so, you saw at the advent of the Redbirds that AutoZone Park was the hip place to be, and they set all sorts of attendance records yep. for minor league baseball. And I really, really believe you could see something similar with the minor league soccer team.
And I hate to not have the username for this, the person that said this on Reddit, but I saw it on Reddit that somebody was like, hey, there's this whole area just south of the Forum, and it's actually called the South Forum area downtown there. It's mm-hmm. I believe it's Vance, G.E. Patterson, 3rd and 4th. There's this whole block there where there's stuff there, but there's not a lot of stuff there. That's a big enough of a block that you could do like a 5,000 seat stadium, and you're still right downtown. You've got all the parking that's from the Forum that people can utilize. If they were mm-hmm. going to deal with the Grizzlies, they could maybe park at the Forum, like who knows, but you've got all that parking in the area, and it's not a completely dilapidated area or anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'd be great. I think I'm just,
I love the idea of a soccer specific stadium. I just feel like that's not something that's going to happen until the team becomes a success in AutoZone Park.
And exactly.
AutoZone Park is no longer sufficient to those needs.
Yeah. I mean, and I imagine at some point, if you're playing a lot of games, which like US Open Cup and regular season USL games and who knows what else, you could get to a point where it's like, well, you know, the Redbirds need to be able to have games in the stadium too. And now, like, you guys are doing all this stuff. Like, what are we going to do here? Like, we can't have the Redbirds go playing on these like 35 game, like road trips or something. So that you guys can use the stadium on the weekends. Like,
hey, it doesn't hurt the Spurs to take the rodeo road trip.
Yeah.
If the Redbirds got to get out of the way for the soccer team, then so be it.
I'm glad you said Spurs, because that we can get into the other part of the discussion I wanted to have with you. I don't want to get too heavy into this because I know there's not a ton of people. There's a lot of people, but there's maybe not a lot of people listening to this that are Premier League fans like we are, mm-hmm. and like the last guy I talked to, Clayton, is. Now, me and Clayton are both Spurs fans. You are a Liverpool fan.
Absolutely.
So just get that out of the way before we start talking about what we think is going to happen with the season. So nobody thinks that, like, man, they sure do think that Spurs is going to be great this year. Now, like, I'm a Spurs fan, Spurs supporter, 100%. Matt is a 100% Liverpool supporter. So just disclaimer, get that out there.
Absolutely.
So I guess the easiest way to do this, just so we're not going too long-winded into it, let's just do top four. I've got basically 1 through 7 kind of plotted out, just because mm-hmm. it kind of evolves into my story.
1 through 7 are head and shoulders above the rest.
Basically, yeah.
At least we're assuming Everton's going to make up that group of seven. Yeah. It could all fall apart spectacularly, or it could be brilliant. We shall have to find out.
So I'll let you go ahead and go first. If you want to count down, maybe, I guess, like 7 to 1 and go that way. And you don't have to go too crazy into like what you think about each team. We just for time's sake, we can just kind of just go down the list. And if you've got something to add for any of that, go right on ahead.
Sure. Well, 7 through 1. I think if you have any idea what the top 4 is going to be, you're going to have a pretty good idea what those 7 are going to be. For me, too many questions about Everton. They're going to be in 7th. This is where it gets tricky. How bad is Chelsea going to be? They end up in 6th. I think they're going to end up in 6th.
I agree 100%.
Then top 5. This is where it gets fun. I think London's going to have a really tough year. Really, really tough year. So the next two are going to be Arsenal, and they're going to be Tottenham. I'm sure you're not happy about that.
We're going to have St. Totteringham's Day again this year?
I'm afraid so. Oh. I just don't think either of you, Arsenal included there, have done enough or done anything really. I mean, like I said, it's nice for Arsenal, but
yeah,
I'm not sure that's that huge of an upgrade from Giroud. And then I think it's Liverpool getting in at number four. It would be nice to challenge for the league, but there's still too many questions. We seem pretty prepared to spend as soon as someone will sell us a defender and a midfielder. So I'm not too concerned with us getting some backup before the season goes too far. And then, I don't know. I guess it is back to the La Liga seasons of Real Madrid and Barcelona, and Guardiola and Mourinho. I think City is going to win simply because Manchester United has just felt too defensive to me. It seems too cautious, the typical kind of Jose Mourinho park the bus kind of thing. the attacking players that he has, I think you gotta play way more up tempo. I think when you watched him play Real Madrid in that friendly, you saw him do a lot better when they were running hard at him as opposed to trying to sit back and pass. I guess all this is based on them having Paul Pogba sitting way too far back.
Sure.
Blows my mind. I can't deal with it. So I think City's got to win. Everton way outside.
In seventh.
Arsenal in seventh. Arsenal, terrible, in sixth. Tottenham, you've at least got Harry Kane in five. Chelsea, they are, I think, going to struggle, but if they can't manage fourth, I'll be shocked. Liverpool, I'm excited about this, but kind of bittersweet. Be nice to challenge for the league, but I think we're not quite in the same league with the Manchester teams yet. And finally, it comes down to the Manchester teams. United is just too defensive-minded under Mourinho. I love Lukaku there. I love Paul Pogba there. Rashford, all this attacking talent they have, and it feels like they're just going to draw too many times because they're being too cautious. So I think City is going to manage to edge them out. It doesn't give me any joy, but I think that's how it's going to be.
All right, so here's what we're kind of similar in some ways, kind of not. We both have Man City winning the league. I will say that. And you see, it was the whole Tottenham thing that threw you off. We sat there and went through the list, and we went, wait a minute, well, who are we missing? You tried to discount Tottenham, and then see what
because you have
to.
No home anymore. You're just wandering around, barely a team at this point.
I'm going to get into that in a minute. All right, so here's how my 7 through 1 rank down kind of compared to yours. I have Arsenal in 7th, and I think Arsene's going to lose his job this year. I think they're going to I know they re-upped everything and whatever. He's going to get fired.
I thought it was going to last forever. Maybe right.
I think this is it for him. The Lacazette thing is not going to push him over the top. They're just going to be 7th. Chelsea in 6th. I think the fact that they didn't add anybody really, and they added some pieces here or there, but they didn't really add anything huge. I think that's what's going to get them in the end, and if they're playing all these games, Champions League and everything, it's going to kill them. The one spot that we're different, I've got Manchester United in 5th. I worry that the Lukaku thing isn't going to be as big of a splash as they're hoping, and that he's just going to kind of, like, the hope I've heard from some people and a lot of the bigger pundits, like your Men and Blazers of the world and other places, have said, you know, he's going to be really good against all these the not so good teams, and that's where Man United struggled last year. I don't think he's really going to help, but I don't think it's going to be that big of a difference. They're going to miss Wayne Rooney a lot more than they think, and that gets me into my number 4, Everton. I think Rooney is going to be a beacon of hope for Everton this year and get them into the top 4 and back into the Champions League. Right ahead of them, my Tottenham Hotspurs, to be Americanize it. I think they're going to be third. They've got plenty of talent. The thing that worries me with them, like you said, they're not playing at home this year. They're going to have home games, but they're not home games. They're playing all the games in the campaign on the road this year. I think they still have plenty of talent, but I think Pochettino is going to focus more on the Premier League than he will on Champions League and anything else they've got going on, so that they can still keep in the race for the title, but they're still going to fall up short. This is where I already said Man City is number one. Liverpool is my other team. We both had all seven of the same teams in the top seven, which is pretty amazing. But I have Liverpool in second. I think the thing that's going to keep them in up that high in the league is the fact that they don't have a super deep team, and at some point the heavy metal football is going to focus only on the Premier League and not on because they're in the Europa League this year, correct?
They are in the Champions League.
It is Champions League. That's right. It's Arsenal that's in the Euro League. So sad for Arsenal. They're in the Euro League. Really. But yeah, I'm very happy we both picked the same seven teams for both. Order's a little different, but we both think Man City's going to win the title this year, which means they're probably going to finish 10th. So do you think, I don't know what your thought is on it, do you think that if Man City doesn't win the championship, that Pep Guardiola is out of a job?
I think both he and Mourinho are always going to be sitting on a hot seat.
Yeah.
I think if either of them falters a couple years in a row, I think they're in serious trouble. And I think they both faltered last year.
I mean, I talked to a City supporter at work the other day. The poor guy was walking around in our store wearing a Man City shirt. And I stopped him. I said, "Hey, are they going to fire him if he doesn't win the title this year?" And he says, "God, I hope not." like a lot of the supporters seem to really like him. It's just a matter of whether the ownership will tolerate another non-championship season. Champions League is not enough.
It's just so much money invested by that ownership. They're going to want results sooner rather than later.
I want to surprise you with one thing before we get out of here. Mm-hmm. Are you gonna pay the money for the NBC Sports Gold thing that they're doing this year?
I believe I am. I believe I am very soon. Seems like it's going to be the only option for watching some of these games this weekend.
For anybody that's listening that isn't familiar with what we're talking about, NBC Sports is doing essentially they're making people pay to watch all the Premier League games after giving them to us for free for the last couple seasons.
It's really nice of them, by the way.
Now I did notice that looking at some of the schedule going forward for a few weeks, the ones that have been announced where they're going to be airing, there are going to be some more games on like USA and on CNBC. So it's not like how it's been where you get the one game on NBC, one or two games on NBCSN, and then everything else was on Live Extra. It looks like some of the other games are going to be accessible on other NBC networks. So it's maybe only like 4 to 6 games a weekend will be part of that gold package that nobody can see unless they pay for it. So it's going to balance out a little bit, but at the same time, it's still like there's going to be some teams like poor Brighton and Hove Albion is going to get on NBC this first weekend, and then they're going to go into the depths for the rest of the year, and nobody's ever going to see him again.
Yeah, it's tough because our cable subscription used to take care of it. Now we got to throw in that extra $50. But I think it's a good thing. It shows, you know, further mainstream acceptance and want for soccer that they are both putting more on their regular broadcast channels and charging the rest of us to see the rest of them. So I think both of those things denote a growing interest. So that can only be a good thing.
I mean, it's a little less than 40 games, so it works out to like $1.25 ish a game.
Less than a pie.
Yeah. I mean, $1.25 a game is not terrible. Plus, you get access to, I sound like I'm doing a commercial for it, but you get access to a bunch of like the Premier League download shows they do, all the little documentaries that they've had on there and stuff. So, I mean, it's, you get other stuff with it too. And I mean, it's not terrible, but I mean, it's still $50. I won't be doing it. $50 is a lot of money.
It's true, but might as well be an advertisement if you're going to keep up with what we're talking about on these looks at the Premier League. you're probably going to need that subscription.
Probably.
So go check that out.
I imagine I can find a legal stream. I didn't say that, did I? all right, so I think that's it for me and you this week. What obviously you're going to watch the Liverpool game this weekend. Anything else that's coming up this weekend that you think is going to be fun to watch? Soccer or anything?
Oh, absolutely. I'm really interested to see how Huddersfield gets on. Favorites to be relegated by pretty much everybody, but they're kind of Liverpool Junior. and they have an American midfielder that is going to play a lot.
Yep.
So hopefully their exciting and innovative style will carry over in the Premier League. Probably won't. I don't think they're paying enough money. They have one of the smallest budgets in the championship.
Yeah.
So.
And they had a negative goal differential last year too, and they still.
Innovative. See, innovative. You didn't think you could do that, and they innovated a way to do that. So
we're going to spend less money than everyone, and we're going to give up more goals than we score. And guess what? We're still going to get promoted.
That's right. That's right. Nobody thought it was possible. They're amazing. And it wasn't all that long ago that Leicester won the league. So frankly, anything can happen.
As long as they take the money that they're getting out of this and reinvest it well, I could see them sticking around, but yeah, that's tough. Like, it would not surprise me one bit if them or Brighton and Hove is not like the, I can't remember which team it was. There was a team a number of years ago that won one game the whole season. I think they won one game and they drew like 10 or 12 of them, and then all the rest were losses. And
the game is about money. Yeah. And Huddersfield simply does not have enough of it to keep up. So all they can do is really hope for the best, or really be the best. So we'll have to see how that translates. But that's kind of the fun of the beginning of the season. There's all these things that possibly could happen. So that's what's going to be the fun thing to watch this weekend, is how it all kicks off.
We've got 7.5, no, it's 8.5 months, basically, of soccer ahead of us. I love it. This makes me so happy. Matt, we'll catch back up here soon, and hopefully we'll have good things to report from the world of soccer the next time we talk.
Yes, absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me on. I'll talk to you soon.
So big thanks to Matt and Clayton for coming on the show today. Got in a lot of good information about Memphis and the USL, some Grizzlies stuff, some Premier League stuff, lots of fun. And we've got another show coming up next week, next Friday. Going to do a little bit of WWE talk, SummerSlam and NXT TakeOver next weekend, just maybe some wrestling in general. Getting a guest lined up right now. I can't say for sure yet, we're still working everything out, but we're going to have a really great guest next week to talk all things WWE. So again, thanks to Matt, thanks to Clayton, thanks to all you for listening, downloading, streaming, whatever you're doing to check out the show. Thank you. You can find me on Twitter at Greg Ratliff. I'm on Facebook at From the Penalty Box. Page is kind of there, but it's not really, it's kind of a placeholder at the moment. Big things coming up, I promise. But reach out to me on Twitter at Greg Ratliff, and we'll talk again soon, so have a good weekend and a good week. We'll see you soon.